Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is Cody, joined by my co-host, James, the strong man strong. How are you today, James?
Cody, I'm doing excellent. How about you?
I'm doing good. Sad to see a couple people still in the playoffs, going to the Super Bowl, but other than that, I am good.
Listen, man, you just can't stop some of these guys. It's annoying. I'm really kind of over it, I'm going to be honest with you.
Really over it?
Like, why are you still playing football at 43? Go to bed.
Yeah, go to bed. Go be a grandpa, something else. Retire, take a vacation. I don't know. He probably does all that in a day, whatever. I don't know. I'm annoyed with it.
Yeah, just go retire with Uncle Bill Belichick and your boy Goodell, and yeah, just be done with
it. Just call it a day.
Yeah.
Call it a day. Don't even play in the next game. Don't even show up. I don't even know who the backup is that would play, but whatever.
Yeah, it'll be better. I'd rather see the backup, whoever it is. I don't care.
All right, let's get into Facebook news for Steelers by the Lake podcast.
We got one new like on Facebook this week, Mr. Edward Stout. Appreciate the like, sir.
Absolutely. Not a whole lot going on this week. Just kidding. Some big news hit the Steelers this week. We obviously signed Dwayne Haskins, the former Washington Redskins / football team quarterback who was a previous first-round pick for them. We saw him get cut this past year after he was caught. There was a picture going around of him with a stripper without a mask during COVID when he's not supposed to be out and doing that kind of stuff. So, I don't know. What do you think about that, James?
Well, it's not a move that really reflects much at all. I'm going to be honest with you. So he's signed to a futures contract, which means it's a league minimum contract for his allotted years in the league thus far. There's zero commitment to him. So with where Pittsburgh's at right now, they've got Ben Roethlisberger under contract next year. You got Mason Rudolph under contract next year. Josh Dobbs is not under contract next year. And the fourth quarterback, Devlin Hodges, also not under contract.
And already with the Rams.
Yeah, and now Sense has signed with the Rams, so you're not going to have Hodges back. They needed another arm going into camp. This is a guy that did have potential coming out as a very strong arm, not accurate down the field, not a scrambler by any means, but, you know, it's a lottery ticket.
He's a younger version of old Ben.
Yep, he's a lottery ticket of a guy with a very strong arm that if you can teach him a few things, maybe you can groom him into something. Maybe he never becomes better than what Mason Rudolph is right now.
Maybe he's just an immature kid that went out of college too soon and needs some growing up, and hopefully Ben can help him with that. That's best case scenario.
Yeah, and a lot of times, too, with these young guys, it's really, really difficult for them to focus on what they've got to do and be 100% committed to it. And especially if you got benched, what's your motivation at that point? You know, and he didn't keep his head straight.
No.
But he's got a second chance at life here.
There was a time when he won a game and Alex Smith had to come in and kneel the ball for him because he was off taking selfies with people in the stands.
Yep. Got to stay focused. There's a little bit more to go on. Until that final whistle, you still got a job to do. So he'll get a chance at least as long as he keeps himself out of trouble. I think if he gets in trouble once in the offseason, look for a very quick cut from the Steelers. But this just at least gives him a third arm going into the offseason program. Look for a fourth one to be added at some point in time. They almost always go into training camp with at least four quarterbacks. So this at least keeps you from having to bring in two rookies and someone also potential-wise. Let's say something happens and he plays a little bit in the preseason or even has to play in the regular season and looks decent. You now have that fourth year option where you have him as a restricted free agent. So you can slap an original round tender on him, which only costs a little bit over $2 million, and you still have him for an additional year, which with both Ben and Mason's contracts running out at the end of the 2021 season, that would at least give you Haskins through 2022 if you decided to go that route with him. So it's a very, very low cost with a very, very low to no risk at all because you can cut him and have zero cap penalty. So I'm on board with it. I would not have been on board with it if they had to pay him a bunch of money, being that they didn't, and it was literally a minimum contract deal. I'm 100% good with it.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I am. I've heard it all over and seen it all over Steelers pages and articles. It's a very low-risk, high-reward signing, and I'm totally fine with it. If it gives us another option for the future, because personally I don't think Mason Rudolph's the answer, I'll take anybody at this point to just have some competition there at least.
Yeah, you got to make sure Mason does have somebody pushing him. This will give him somebody to push him. So additional guys that were signed at the same time, because this was not a one-time thing where they went out and went after Dwayne Haskins. They were bringing people in. They also signed a defensive back, a corner, that was drafted by the Chicago Bears in the 2019 draft in the 7th round, Mr. Steven Denmark. He's a 6'4" corner that's a convert from wide receiver. So it's at least a size guy. I hear he was good as far as his measurables, had a decent 40 time and stuff. So it'll give you somebody to try to mold, a nice big lump of clay kind of guy, which those are the guys that you take a chance on. Again, it is a just a futures contract, so not a big deal. Our producer just looked up that 40. It was a 4.46 40-yard dash.
That's pretty fast.
That's really good for a 6'4" guy. So that's at least some upside there with size and speed. You know, worst case scenario, you'd probably make a good gunner.
Yeah. Yeah, worst case scenario.
Yeah. And you're going to need some depth.
Oh, absolutely. So they also brought in a tight end, Charles Jones, as well as Dax Raymond.
Yep.
So two tight ends that, and Raymond we've actually already seen. He was on the practice, well, not even the practice squad. He was in training camp this past year before being cut.
And then Charles Jones was actually on the practice squad for a little bit of last year. So he finished the year up on the practice squad. They brought both of them back on futures contracts, which is a sign that typically something is going to happen. And the very next day, Vance McDonald retired. So there it is. We saw exactly why they brought both of those guys back. Maybe they would have only signed one of them if it weren't for Vance going into retirement. But being that Vance did so, that frees up about $5.2 million in cap space, which is going to help. We still don't know what that cap is going to be next year. Rumor is going around lately that it's going to be around $180 million, which would be $18 million less than last year, which would be really, really bad.
Put Pittsburgh in the negative big time.
Yeah, yes. They're projected right now to be at $205 million in cap. That's with them rolling over $5 million worth of unused cap space from last year, which they're allowed to do, and with the $5 million that they just saved from Vance retiring.
Dang.
So you're still over even if it comes in flat at 198.
Yeah. Yeah, not great.
Got some stuff to do still.
A lot of stuff. We talked last week about how the Steelers tight end coach had retired. So with that being said, they went out and hired Alfredo Roberts as the new tight ends coach. He was the NFL assistant coach, or has been an NFL assistant coach since 2003, and even played six seasons in the NFL at tight end for both the Chiefs and the Cowboys, and was actually on one of the 90s Super Bowl winning team for the Cowboys as a tight end. So exciting news there. He has some experience. We'll see what happens. And he's got some young guys to work with for sure. And then obviously Eric Ebron, which still a young guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So 55-year-old guy. So he's not a young coach and he's not a real old coach, right in the middle. I like the fact that he's got so much experience. He's already coached with like six or seven different teams. So I like the experience and just the fact that he can look at these guys and say, hey, I've got a ring from playing it. I've done this. Listen to what I've got to say and I can help you.
Listen, he's done this. He had a catch every other game in his career, roughly, on average. But he played. That's what matters.
Yeah, and he stayed in the league for 6 years, which says something, because that's not easy to do. It's not easy to get there, let alone stay there for 6 years.
Yeah, he had to have been at least a solid backup.
Yep.
Especially to make it on a team like that Cowboys team in the 90s to win the Super Bowl. Yeah,
stacked team.
Yeah, so excited to see that. Some news today that we received, Matt Canada promoted officially to offensive coordinator.
Yeah, there it is, man. We heard rumors of it last week. I think we even talked about it on the show last week. So it is officially official. Now we need an offensive line coach, which they did bring in Hank Fraley for an interview this week. So we'll see if he ends up getting the job or not. Hank Fraley actually played for the Steelers years ago. Ended up bouncing around in the NFL. I want to say he was in the league for about 7 or 8 years. Has been an offensive line coach in the NFL and multiple teams now. So we'll see where that goes. But I bet we will see this announcement very, very soon. It's a very important position. Got big guys up there.
You do.
Got to make sure that they are well taken care of, well coached.
Absolutely. There. Speaking of big guys, Maurkice Pouncey.
Yeah, man, there's a rumor going around.
Very sad rumor, but kind of expected after the way the season ended and seeing everything. But the rumor is that he will retire before the next season starts. I think we kind of expect it to happen. We don't want it to happen because if that does happen, that's a huge hole in the very front of the Steelers offensive line that will need to be addressed immediately if we want to have any chance of succeeding next year.
Yeah, honestly, I won't be surprised if this becomes official news. At this stage, we're recording Monday night. It is not yet official, but being reported by both Dale Lawley and another reporter for Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, I think it is. So there's two guys that are reporting this at this point, and both of them are very credible sources. So it's going to save Pittsburgh about $8 million in cap space, which will be useful for sure. But with the potential of already losing Alejandro Villanueva, also losing Matt Filer, if you lose Pouncey as well, holy cow, man, you're going to pretty much have to draft offensive linemen twice in the first three rounds just to make sure you got guys high enough quality that can start right away because you're going to need it. You guys are not going to like some of the mock drafts I do if Pouncey retires because I'm going to be taking a center and an offensive tackle real early, pretty regularly, and it's going to be boring as far as a mock draft, but it's exactly what the team needs.
Yeah, and speaking of the draft, one thing coming up here pretty quick is the Senior Bowl.
Yes, next Saturday, this upcoming Saturday, that is. And this is a huge game. As far as college all-star games, this is the creme de la creme, man. This is the top seniors from all of college ball that will be playing in this game. There's some pretty serious names. We were going through this list earlier talking about it here. You've got Kadarius Toney, the super speedy wide receiver out of Florida, going to be playing in this game. We saw some other real big names. Obi Milifon was a little brother who's going to be playing in this game. Super athletic defensive back. Mac Jones, the quarterback out of Alabama, will be playing. Kellen Mond, quarterback out of Texas A&M, will be in this game. We saw some big-name offensive linemen going to be in this as well. Alabama's got multiple of them being represented in this game with Deontay Brown, Landon Dickerson, and Alex Leatherwood. So that's a center, a guard, and a tackle. All of them going to be represented in this game. All of them expected to be top couple round draft picks. So look for a lot of this. We're going to be watching this game. We'll break it down, give you some opinions of guys that had a good game, guys that maybe didn't have a good game. Now on the other team, Devontae Smith. Yes, that same Devontae Smith that just won the Heisman. He's playing in this game. Along with his running back, running mate. What was his name again, Cody?
Najee Harris.
Najee Harris, yeah. So that's a big name. Could be a first or second round pick there. Felipe Franks, the quarterback from Arkansas. He was a fun guy. Michael Carter, running back out of North Carolina. I'm going to tell you, watched a couple North Carolina games this year. This is a dude with serious breakaway speed. So he'll be a fun one to watch in a game like this. Sam Ellinger, the quarterback from Texas, is going to be playing. Hamilcar Rashid, linebacker out of Oregon State. I've heard some good things about him as well. Both Surratt brothers, Sage Surratt, the wide receiver, and then also the other Surratt brother, Chad Surratt, linebacker. Look for him. Off-ball linebacker who's a former quarterback converted to middle linebacker with some nice athleticism. Shaka Toney, a defensive end from Penn State. Trey Sermon, been a big-time running back for Ohio State. He's been really turning a lot of heads at the end of the season here. And there's a number of other names as well. So we're really going to see some stuff going on there. And we'll let you know what we find from it. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of guys that we're excited about, just like we were last year.
Oh, absolutely. I'll talk to you real quick about guys that I'm not excited about. Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown are both. Listen, this is the biggest. I don't even know how to say this. This is the biggest, like, screw you to Pittsburgh that I think they could possibly do. Both of them go to teams that don't need them to be successful. I would argue they're worse than Kevin Durant. No, let me clarify. Kevin Durant was really bad.
Kevin Durant at least contributed.
Yeah. Le'Veon Bell has, I think, a total of 2 touchdowns on the year with less than 400 yards rushing. Antonio Brown has 4 touchdowns with 45 catches on the year. Both very, very mediocre performances as far as them as individuals, but both on absolutely phenomenal football teams. That happened to be going to the Super Bowl and playing against each other. So one of the previous Steelers players that either A, made the choice to ask for more money and then not even get it when he went to the Jets, or one that had a mental breakdown of some degree, not being rude, but just that's what it was.
Yeah.
Both of them are now playing for a Lombardi Trophy and for Super Bowl rings. It's hard to watch. It really is, especially when you see a bunch of the, you know, Bruce Arians, the coach for Tampa Bay Buccaneers, was the offensive coordinator for, I think, at least one of Pittsburgh Super Bowls, the one against the Cardinals. And we actually went up against Ken Whisenhunt in that Super Bowl, which was another old offensive coordinator for Pittsburgh. So really sad to see all these guys that we let go or had to leave get to the Super Bowl. Again, the only one of those two that I would want to have kept is Le'Veon, if he wouldn't have been asking for so much money and being what I understand he wanted to get paid for his contributions. Now he's not contributing anything, and probably going to get a Super Bowl ring. So I don't know. It's going to be frustrating to watch this game. However, it was frustrating watching this weekend just as much.
Yeah, and for me, the frustration started with the first game, right? Tampa Bay and Green Bay, I did not realize how inept that Green Bay offensive line was, man. They were injured. They had a lot of undrafted guys playing. And Aaron Rodgers was just running for his life the whole game. But it also really brought to light the talent that's on that Tampa Bay defense. Devin White is having himself a tremendous season. And Jason Pierre-Paul is really making it happen. All 7.5 fingers and all, man. Yeah. That's really overcoming when you blow off half your hand with fireworks. Being not so smart about it, to really be able to continue his career successfully like he was. Man had an excellent game. And then they've got Shaquille Barrett on the other side. I do believe that the defensive line and defense in general for Tampa Bay is going to be a real big problem for Kansas City. Kansas City's offensive line also is not very good. And they lost their starting left tackle, Eric Fisher, in this game to an Achilles injury. So he's not going to be ready for that Super Bowl. It's not happening. That's one more guy down. This pass rush from Tampa is going to be all over Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. And I don't like that because I really think that that means that Tampa Bay's got the upper hand right now.
Yeah, especially when you can have Tom Brady throw 3 interceptions in a game and your defense still bails you out because they play that well. That's truly all it was. Brady arguably had the best first half of his career, but then turned around and played horribly in the second half.
Yeah. Yeah, he had at one point, he had 3 interceptions out of 7 attempts.
Yep.
Just awful, awful. And he really was not doing a good job executing his passes. There were plenty of times where he had wide open guys and could have finished drives and really put the other team away and just kept on missing guys.
Yeah.
Brady, to me, if he plays the way he played in that game against Kansas City, they won't win.
Nope.
If Brady limits his turnovers, I think that Tampa's got a really good chance in this game.
Yeah.
Now, in the second game, Bills versus Chiefs.
Bills jumped out to a 9-point lead real fast. It was 9-0 real fast. And then I stopped watching for 10 minutes and came back and it was 21-9.
Yep. And it was literally just like the only reason they got that touchdown is because Mecole Hardman muffed a punt return.
And they got it.
They recovered
it
at the 1-yard line. All they had to do is punch it in from there, which most teams ought to be able to do, and they did. Then they missed the extra point by hitting the upright. And that was it, man. Just nothing but field goals the rest of the way. And you cannot beat a team like Kansas City that way. But yeah, to me, the game kind of exposed the lack of talent on the offensive line for Kansas City. And you know Tampa Bay is going to be coming after them hard, man. I got a bad feeling that this is going to be a Tampa Bay win. Not that I have anything against Tampa Bay.
We just have something against Tom Brady.
It's just Brady. Honestly, it's not even about Antonio Brown to me. Not at all. Like, he doesn't factor in it to me. If he gets a Super Bowl ring and he's actually got his life back together and his head on straight and he can keep himself from getting in trouble and whatnot, man, good for him. Good for him. He gave everything to Pittsburgh for a long time. I got no ill will towards the guy. But Brady, on the other hand, he's been caught cheating like 6 times now. I mean, come on. Why are they even letting him play in this league anymore? I don't get it. I just don't get it, man. But I have a question for you, Cody. This is a topic of conversation I heard previously this week, and I want your input on this.
Okay.
So, as diehard Steeler fans, obviously, one of our biggest goals is to see the Steelers get that 7th Lombardi trophy before any other team. Now that Tom Brady's not playing for the Patriots anymore, Tampa is not really in any jeopardy of getting to 7 anytime soon.
Not at all.
They've only got like 2 in the entire history.
But Brady could get 7 himself.
Yeah. Which, that's not really a thing. It's not a team. Yeah. So, like, I don't care if Brady gets the 7th one. It's a team getting there before Pittsburgh, right? But if you go to the flip side of it, Kansas City's already got 2. One from way back in the day, and then one last year, of course. And they've got probably the best quarterback in the NFL right now who can very easily get back there dang near every year. Are you more worried that Kansas City will get the 7 first?
No, I'm not.
I am.
I'm not.
I absolutely don't think
that team can keep... There's always these stages that you see teams go through. This is why you have teams like Arizona make it to the Super Bowl kind of when they did. Same thing with Seattle back when we played them in Super Bowl XL. You have teams that go through stages where, hey, some guys are still on rookie deals. Some guys are on prove-it deals. You get the correct people into place to get to the Super Bowl. That's where, to me personally, Kansas City is in. I don't expect them to be as dominant as Brady was in the AFC going every other or 2 years in a row and stuff like that. Because I personally don't believe they'll be able to keep all the talent they have around them. They're not going to be able to re-sign Travis Kelce, Mecole Hardman, Tyreek Hill, all these guys. Especially even if you look at the defense, you know, you have guys like, who's the safety? Tyrann
Mathieu.
Mathieu.
Yeah.
He's nearing the end of his career. He's still great, don't get me wrong, but he's getting older. You're not going to be able to keep the talent that they have around them as consistently as some places were able to, or even get as lucky, I personally believe. Don't get me wrong. Andy Reid's one of the best coaches in the league, hands down, but I'm more scared of Bill Belichick getting a quarterback he likes and being able to do the same thing he did with Brady. Because I think Brady, even though he's a great quarterback, the GOAT, whatever you want to say, I think most of his success came from Belichick. And he learned so much from him that he's still that good now.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of a few things there, with Brady just being a very, very smart dude who is really able to exploit any weaknesses in the rule books, any weaknesses in somebody lining up. He's always done a good job at getting people in motion so that he can identify what his defense is pre-snap. And I think a lot of times he already knows where he's throwing the ball before he even snaps it. And that's just by getting somebody in motion and being able to recognize, do I have man, do I have zone, do I have cover 3 or cover 1 or cover 4 or what? You know, so I think that's a lot to do with it. I'm not worried about Belichick, to be honest, because I feel like 1 or 2 more bad years and he's going to retire. He's not going to want to stick around for this, man. I don't think he has any desire to rebuild the team again. After as bad of a year as this was, if he has another bad season, I think he'll consider hanging him up.
I think if Brady wins a Super Bowl, he's going to be hell-bent on making sure he has more wins in a Super Bowl than Brady. Because it's easier for him to stick around as a head coach than it is for Brady to stick around as a quarterback. That's my personal opinion. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But I think he wants to prove to everybody that he didn't need Brady, but he needed somebody. I'm sorry, Cam Newton wasn't it.
No, God, no. That's just it. No, and Cam Newton 5 years ago could have been it, but Cam Newton now is not it. He's washed, man.
Sadly.
There's nothing left. And Cam was a lot of fun to cheer for as he went on. And I feel like he was a good personality. Really, really kept himself out of trouble as far as his pro career. A little bit of trouble when he was in college. But, young kids get in trouble sometimes. That's just kind of the way life is. But he cleaned his act up and he really had an excellent pro career. And now it's looking like it's not there anymore, man. It's kind of sad.
It's very sad. Very sad to see that be the way it is with him getting older. Not even older. He's just, I think he just lost a step. And by this time in his career, the defenses around the league have caught up a step. And it's just not looking good for him.
No. So let's give a little bit of a, you know what? Let's save Super Bowl predictions for next week. We still got 2 weeks between now and the Super Bowl. We'll do that. We're going to give you some breakdowns, like we said, on the Senior Bowl coming up this week. We should have updates for you as well on a new offensive line coach.
Yep.
So look for that.
Quarterback coach.
Possible quarterback coach, I guess, as well, right? And then I don't think there's any other ones. I don't think they're going to do anything with the defense because I think everybody else was already in-house there.
Yep.
And it looks like all the guys that went and got interviews outside of Pittsburgh are not going anywhere.
At least not now, no.
Yeah. Yeah, like the wide receiver coach, Ike Hilliard, he got an interview. He came back. Canada got a few interviews other places. So Nice to see that we got him and he had the choice possibly of going other places as well. So we're going to wrap up today's episode. Look forward to talking to you guys again next week. Thanks again for listening. Feel free to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Steelers by the Lake. This is James signing off for Cody.
Peace.